Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. Fusion Church, 6 a.m. soap. There you go, Doug. So glad to be with you guys today. Today we are in Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Continuing on this journey of Proverbs, this book of wisdom. So as always, we have a lot to cover. So let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for this time, this opportunity, Lord, we have to begin our day, Father, for most of us by getting into your word, Lord God. I pray that, Father, it would be you that's speaking and not me, Father. It would be your words and not mine that are being heard, Lord. And for everyone listening to the sound of my voice, whether they're sitting at home, they may be laying in bed, they may be driving, they may be listening later on YouTube or the podcast, Father, Lord, that you would just be speaking to them, Father. Reveal new truth, Lord God. Reveal those areas in their lives, Father, that perhaps this proverb needs to really take root. We thank you for what you're doing. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right. So, Proverbs 18, and I am reading from the New King James Version. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart. When the wicked comes, contempt comes also, and with dishonor comes reproach. The words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. It is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth calls for blows. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. He who is slothful in his work is a brother to him who is a great destroyer. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. The rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. Before destruction, the heart of a man is haughty, and before honor is humility. He who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame to him. The spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The heart of the prudent acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. The first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. Casting lots causes contentions to cease and keeps the mighty apart. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his work, but from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. The poor man uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm sure as I was reading from Proverbs 18, you probably recognize a lot of the individual proverbs. You know, you go to, you know, various places and you'll see pictures up with some of these proverbs, you know, that you could put on your wall. But the context of Proverbs 18, excuse me, it centers on the power of words. It centers on the nature of foolishness versus wisdom and the value of having wise relationships. And like much of the rest of the book of Proverbs, it offers short contrasting sayings that reflects Solomon's insights into to godly living. In ancient Israel, wisdom literature guided the daily life with practical and moral instruction that was grounded in reverence for God. And so Proverbs 18, it reflects a culture where community, honor, speech, justice were essential for survival and flourishing. And so Proverbs as a whole, it provides godly counsel for developing good character and for making wise choices. This chapter assumes that true wisdom comes from God, and that our speech and our relationships and how we carry ourselves and how we interact with other people, it reflects our spiritual condition. And so chapter 18 is particularly rich with these themes of the power of words, of relationships, of decision making, having discernment. Proverbs 18, it opens by talking about isolation and selfishness. Verse 1 says, "A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment." This tells us something very, very important, that withdrawing from godly counsel and community often leads to poor decision. No, I'm not gonna say often. It always leads to poor decisions when you do not have godly counsel in your life. There's a foolish, extremely foolish. Did I say foolish? There's a foolish saying that says, "Only God can judge me," right? And people say, you know, the Bible says only God can judge me. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, first of all. You might want to crack open the book before you start quoting, you know, sayings that you hear in rap songs or whatever the case may be. It doesn't say that at all. A matter of fact, it says that we are called to judge. We are called to judge our brother and sister, our Christian brother and sister. Now, we shouldn't be judging those who do not know the word of God. You know, if we have a new believer walking into the doors of a church and we start judging them, they don't know any better, right? But those brothers and sisters, you know, who should know better, who have been in church, have been in the word, you see them doing some foolishness, we should go and confront them and talk to them. Doesn't mean come down on them, right? Don't be coming down on our brothers and sisters, but address the wrong that they are doing. You know, and try to bring wise counsel. How many times have you tried to bring something up to a fellow believer and they became angry and they don't want to hear it, and they end up leaving the church and they find every other excuse, every other nonsense reason why I'm done, I'm done, I'm leaving, right? And it's like, I'm sorry, but I'm just trying to bring counsel. I'm just trying to, like, hey, bring something to your attention. Maybe you're unaware of what you're doing or what you're saying or how you're saying something. Maybe you're unaware of how your speech may be offending someone. I'm just trying to bring it to your attention, and they get upset, right? And now where are they? Well, more often than not, they're no longer serving the Lord. And if they are still serving the Lord, they've decided to surround themselves with people who won't address their issues. So when people pull away and choose isolation out of a selfish ambition, they tend to reject wise guidance. And God created us for relationship and accountability. So when we're unwilling to receive correction or to hear godly wisdom, we open up ourselves to foolishness. Verse 2 says, "A fool has no delight in understanding, but in expressing his own heart." This verse, it hits hard for a lot of people, especially in the world that we live in, where social media platforms have enabled, you know, constant opinion shaming, right? We have these horrible devices that, you know, that we can get on here and we can say whatever we want to whoever we want and pretend and think that there are no consequences, no repercussions. But God encourages us to be people who seek understanding rather than talking just to be heard. Sometimes we just need to shut it up. Because quite honestly, your opinion don't matter. Sorry if I'm hurting somebody, if I'm offending someone. But y'all know me. Y'all should know me well enough. I don't really care. Our opinions don't really matter, right? Sometimes we need to be silent. Be silent. There's a heart issue there. There's a heart issue there when you're constantly having to feel the need to make your, you will hear me, hear what I have to say. Are you trying to elevate yourself? Or are you truly trying to edify others? So be careful. Take the time. Take the time to think about what you have to say. Verse 4 says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. This points to the power of the spoken word. Words can build up or they can tear down. And when wisdom flows from someone's mouth, it nourishes like a refreshing stream. But empty or foolish talk brings confusion. So this verse challenges us to evaluate our conversations. Are our conversations thoughtful, or are they life-giving, or are they careless and superficial? Some of us need to be careful with who we're hanging around and the conversations we're a part of. Because are those conversations, are they thoughtful? Are they life-giving? Or are they just bringing people down? Verse 10 is one of the most comforting texts in this entire chapter. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. This verse shifts from earthly wisdom to divine protection. In times of fear, in times of uncertainty or temptation, our refuge is not in our own abilities. Our refuge is not in our relationships. Our refuge is not in our possessions. Our true stronghold is the name of the Lord. Come on, brothers and sisters. Our true stronghold is in his nature, in his promises, in his faithfulness. The word says, at the name of Jesus Christ, demons have to flee. So at the name of Jesus, chains are broken. At the name of Jesus, strongholds come down. At the name of Jesus, there is restoration. At the name of Jesus, there is healing. At the name of Jesus, there is reconciliation. This is a reminder to run to God first. Don't run to God as a last resort. God should be the first thing we go to in every situation. The name of Jesus, there is power. Come on, brothers and sisters. It's 6:12. Am I the only one that's fired up right now? Come on, the name of Jesus, there is power. Ooh, now contrast that. Contrast that verse with verse 11, where it says, the rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. So we have the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run to it, and they are safe in verse 10. But in verse 11, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own esteem. While the righteous find safety in God, the rich often find false security in their finances. They believe their wealth can protect them, but it's only an illusion. Finances are fleeting, but God is eternal. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can acquire all the wealth in the world, right? But listen, you came into this world naked with nothing. You're going to go out this world naked with nothing. It doesn't really matter. So the connection between verses 10 and 11 is intentional. It reveals where our trust truly lies. So where does your trust lie? Does your trust lie in Jesus? Or does your trust rely on your wealth? That's a question only you can answer. But where does your trust lie, in Jesus or your wealth? Proverbs 13 gives practical wisdom for relationships. Says he who answers a matter before he hears it, it is folly and shame. How many conflicts could be avoided if we truly listened before we spoke? Just like what I said earlier, if we just took the time just to let it process a little bit, let the situation marinate in your noggin a little bit before you decide to open up your mouth and spout some nonsense. Right? So many things would be avoided if we just slowed it down and asked in our minds, ask a couple questions. Like, is it important for me to go ahead and address the situation, or should I just move on? See, God calls us to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Listening well is not just good manners, it's godly wisdom. Listening well, it shows honor. It shows humility. Listening well, we don't listen well as a society, right? We don't listen well. We listen to respond. We don't listen to hear what the other person is saying, right? And we've all been there. Where are my married folk at? Right, your spouse is coming at you with something, and you're like, "Ooh, I'm gonna get you. I'm gonna get you. Ooh, I got the bomb about to drop on you. I know what I'm gonna say." Meanwhile, they may be sharing their heart, the feelings, the anxiety, the frustrations, the fears, the angers that they're feeling, right? But you're just waiting for them to stop talking, so you can say what you gotta say. So you can defend yourself. And that's not even you're missing the whole point, right? So sometimes we just need to slow it down and listen. Now let's consider verse 17. Verse 17 says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him, right? So who here has siblings? Right, you grew up. You have siblings you grew up with, and you know, and you get into a fight, and you or you do something wrong, or you break something, but regardless, you knew someone was getting into trouble, right? You knew someone was getting into trouble, and then mom and dad get home, and you have to be the one to beat them to tell your version of the story before your sibling could tell them their version of the story, right? And you think that if I get to mom first, she gonna believe me, right? So when I was growing up, everyone knows the Hernandez squad. You know, we're all over the place, right? Me and my brother, when we were younger, we would get home from school on the bus before my parents got home from work. So, you know, typical punk kids, we go home, we let ourselves in, we do what we gotta do, and we got into a fight about something. If I really thought about it, I could maybe remember what it was, but regardless, it was stupid, right? If it was that important, I'd remember to this day. But we got into a fight and it got physical, right? We were hitting each other. We were brothers, you know. He and I are 2.5 years apart, you know. And so we got into a fight, and I'll never forget. I'm the bigger brother. I'm the older brother, so I won, right? So when you see my brother, let him know, right? Ha, your brother whooped you. Anyway, so. But I remember this particular day, I heard my dad's car pull up, right? And so Papa Hernandez is walking up, right? Now listen, we family here, right? We family, right? Let's be real. The Papa Hernandez some of y'all know in church ain't the same Papa Hernandez from, say, 25, 30 years ago. Ain't the same dude, right? And so Papa Hernandez walks in, and I run to him, and before he even walks into the door, I'm like, you know, hey, Pop, you know, da, la, 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 la. This will happen. But one thing that's popping, he ain't the same man as he was back in the day. But one thing that's the same about him is that he is calm, right? And back in the day, it was that scary calm, like little too calm. You know what I'm saying? Like that dude, and you walk into a restaurant, he's in the corner. You're like, "Ooh, I ain't gonna mess with that guy." That's how he was. But my pop, he was wise enough to know that it wasn't the whole story, right? And so I said my piece, and then he was like, "All right, And I think he knew that I was probably at fault. Okay, it's fine. I was probably at fault. And so, me being the first to say my piece really had no bearing, because he was wise enough to know I'm gonna hear both sides, right? Because both my kids are knuckleheads, and chances are they both messed up, right? And so being the first one to plead your case doesn't always work. And this is incredibly relevant in a world where people rush to judge based on the first version of the story. Look at the news. Look at the quote unquote mainstream news. Something comes out and they're quick to report on it. This person did this and this and blah blah. No evidence, no corroboration. Right, no trials taking place, but people are already being tried in the court of public opinion. Right, but this proverb reminds us that there are always two sides to the story. Really, there are three sides to the story: yours, theirs, and the Lord's, which is the truth. Right, we must resist jumping to conclusions and instead speak the full truth with discernment and patience. One of the most frequently quoted verses from this chapter is verse 21, where it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Its fruit, excuse me. Our words carry incredible weight. They can encourage or they can destroy. They can bring peace or they can bring conflict. They can build faith or plant doubt. Every day, every day. Every day, every day, every day, we are presented with hundreds of opportunities to use our words. Proverbs 18 challenges us. Will we speak life or will we speak death? Think about how you speak to your spouse, to your children, to your coworkers, to your family members, to your friends. How about this one? How do you speak to yourself? How often do you talk down to yourself? How often do you look to yourself and you're like, "Oh, you're this, you're less than, you can't, you're all these things." You're speaking death into your own life. No one has to say anything to you. But in your own mind, you're viewing yourself through a negative lens instead of through the lens of Jesus Christ and how he views you as his child. So how often do you talk down to your own self? How often do you speak death into your own life? Are your words building bridges or are your words burning them? These proverbs aren't just for other people. We have to look to ourselves. We have to examine ourselves through the lens of the Bible. And so as we begin to wind this chapter down, we might finish a little early. Verse 24. A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So this verse points to two kinds of relationships: those that are shallow and unreliable, and those that are deep and faithful. If you want to have friends, are you friendly? There's so many times I speak to people and they complain. They want to talk about how, No one talks to me. I have no friends and blah, and all this stuff, right? And not always, but more often than not, I'm thinking to myself, I say, self. Myself says, huh? I say, this person ain't got no friends because they nasty. No one wants to be their friend. Right? So if you want to have friends, if you want people in your life, what are you putting forth? Are you treating people in a negative way and then expecting them just to be nice to you? Or are you being friendly to others? So how are you conducting yourself? Because if you're being nasty to people, if you have an attitude all the time, if you got a stank face, listen, and listen, some of us, I'm gonna talk about me. Nicole, I'm gonna talk about me, right? I know sometimes I have a face where it's like, don't talk to that dude. He might choke you out, right? I understand that. I own that about myself sometimes, right? But not always. Pastor Jason ain't always nasty, all right? But how are people seeing you? Do you come across as someone that's approachable or someone that's got a wall built up? So we can't always look to others and why people aren't, approaching you, why people aren't friendly to you, why people aren't talking to you, why people aren't responding to your GroupMe or your text messages and all this stuff, right? Sometimes we look at ourselves. What are we doing or what aren't we doing? So again, two kinds of relationships in this verse, shallow and unreliable, or deep and faithful. And while the first group may disappear in times of trouble, the second kind of friend remains. Do you have a friend that sticks closer than a brother or a sister? A lot of times, especially as we get older, our friend groups get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And so you're blessed if you have even one friend, right? Take that as a blessing. Who sticks closer than a brother, right? And ultimately, this verse points us to Jesus, because Jesus had 12 friends, and that got whittled down to three friends. And even those three friends in the garden, they abandoned him. And eventually, he was by himself. And that's the savior of the world. You know what I'm saying? So even if you have no friends, you have the ultimate friend in Jesus. Because Jesus is a friend who does stick closer than a brother. Jesus is a friend who never leaves or forsakes. Jesus is a friend who walks shoulder to shoulder with us through every season of life. Believe it or not, brothers and sisters, Jesus is with you always, always, right now. In your room, in your vehicle, in your workplace, wherever you are listening to the sound of my voice, Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. And he does not leave us. He will not forsake us. So even if you're feeling alone, if you feel like you're at the loneliest point in your life, you're not. So as I close, what does Proverbs 18 teach us at a heart level? It teaches us that our words matter profoundly. Our words can heal or harm. It teaches us to listen, to seek understanding, and to be careful about what we say and to whom we trust. It warns us not to place our hope in wealth, but to run to the only sure refuge. And that refuge is God Himself. And it reminds us that true friendship is rare and precious, precious. True friendship is a rare gift from heaven. So, as we conclude, what we should ask ourselves, am I applying this wisdom to my life? Am I quick to listen and slow to speak? Do I find refuge in God or in my own strength? Are my relationships rooted in godly love or in convenience? And perhaps most significantly out of all of it is, are my words instruments of life? So today, let's go forward by committing to be people who reflect God's wisdom in how we speak and how we live. Let's be quick to hear, slow to anger, be rich in love, and grounded in faith. And may we all find our refuge not in worldly security, but in the strong tower of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Woo, amen. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word, Lord God, that we can look to you, Father, to be our refuge, Lord. We don't have to look to anything else. We can just look to you, Lord. So, Father, as we go about our day, Lord, as we go to work, we're running errands, we're whatever it is we're doing today, Father, wrangling these kids like I gotta do today. Lord Jesus, help me. That we would reflect on this passage of Scripture and just continue to seek new ways that we can glorify you. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. All right, brothers and sisters, love y'all. And I'll see you soon. God bless.